SBS Radio.
So firstly, I don't have a clue who is going to win, and I don't believe anybody does. What we do know is that this election is going to be very different in terms of the final result from the last election, and that in all probability we will get a government. When I say it's going to be different from the last election, maybe the numbers won't be that different, but the last election, Netanyahu had a stunning victory and wasn't able to form a government because 65 members of the Knesset went to President Rivlin and said Netanyahu and only Netanyahu can be the Prime Minister. And so that meant either he would form a coalition or there was no coalition possible. And this time the big difference is that 65 members of the Knesset will not go to Rivlin saying only Netanyahu can be the Prime Minister. Most of them will probably, if he actually does win, get to say that we prefer him as Prime Minister, but of course Avigdor Lieberman and others will say that they're willing to form a government with a number of potential leaders, primarily Gantz and Bibi, or if the Likud brings somebody else. So in that case, this election result is going to be very different from the previous election.
The public is trying to understand why he wasn't able to form a coalition, and what changed from now? I mean, Lieberman is not going to go with him. So is Netanyahu has any chance of forming a coalition?
Firstly, everyone running is a politician, and all of them who say they're red lines, they won't go with who and so on and so forth, cannot be relied upon. Lieberman will definitely be able to go with Netanyahu. He's actually not saying he won't go with Netanyahu. He's actually more saying he won't go with the Haredim. And then he already stepped back from that, and he said he won't go with the Haredim if they have control over whether government falls or not. He says that his initial thing is to make a national unity government between Gantz and Netanyahu. But Lieberman, as I said before, the main difference is before Lieberman said he would only go with Netanyahu and no one else, and now he'll say he'll go with whoever gives into his demands. So it's going to be possible for other people to form coalitions as well.
It seems that the public in Israel is very indifferent. I found few people in Israel and nobody talks about the election. I mean, it's around the corner and nobody is getting excited. It's not the same atmosphere as the previous election, as before the previous election. Why do you think things change so much?
Well, there's probably voter fatigue. People went to an election previously. They put all their efforts into it. There was no result. Voting in Israel is not compulsory. It's voluntary. So the voter turnout is going to be very important in terms of how many seats each party gets. And both parties are doing everything to make sure that their people turn out as much as possible. I think that people realise that in this election, really, there's only one issue. There's a major issue, and that is there's only two candidates. One is Prime Minister Netanyahu, and the other is Bibi. They're really the only two candidates. People will either vote for the statesman Netanyahu or against the person Bibi, who they see as tarnished and has had enough time in the role. So there's no actual policy issues in this election. And for that reason, I think that the electorate isn't that excited about what will go on. The smaller issue in this election is the separation of religion and state, which is what Lieberman is running on. But really, the election all comes down to, do you want Netanyahu or do you not want Netanyahu?
This is very interesting because nothing really changed in the landscape of the Middle East as far as Israel and its neighbors. So, but it seems that Netanyahu is actually trying to introduce in the last moment some sort of policies, promising to annex the Jordan Valley and north of the Dead Sea.
Well, it's important to remember two things. Number one, as Gantz said when Bibi announced this, thank you for adopting my policy. Because Gantz already announced previously that Israel will retain permanently the Jordan Valley, the major settlement blocks, the Golan Heights, and your undivided Jerusalem. In this, there's no difference in policy really between Netanyahu and Gantz other than in timing of when to do it. That's number one. And number two, you have to remember that Netanyahu has promised before every other election to annex various parts of Yehuda Shomron or the West Bank, and he actually hasn't done so. This was kicked off just when last week Avigdor Lieberman visited Maale Adumim and said that he's going to annex Maale Adumim. You know, they're all trying to out-annex each other, if you like. Of course, an unknown factor is the Trump plan, if it comes forward at all. Very strange that Jason Greenblatt is gone. Bolton was actually fired. And if you want one major difference between the campaign in April and the campaign now, it is that Trump himself has this time stayed out of the campaign, at least till now. I don't know if he'll do anything surprising between now and the election, but in the last election he did a lot to help Netanyahu, and this time he's remaining silent. fact, the only thing that we can see is him trying to actually organise a meeting with the head of the, which Israel on all sides is very much against.
We are talking to Dr. Ron Weiser AM. Dr. Weiser is a member of the Board of Governors of the Jewish Agency and the past president of the Zionist Federation of Australia. And you are listening to Shalom Australia Broadcasting with Nitza Lowenstein. Ron, it seems that the main rival to Netanyahu is the Blue and White Party with Benny Gantz and Yair Lapid. Can you please tell us something about the two leaders, because they promised to rotate between Benny Gantz and Yair Lapid?
I would actually say that Netanyahu's main rival is himself in the first instance, and he's still the election issue. But Gantz has largely managed to be silent on every issue possible, trying to keep himself a small target. As I said earlier, he's been the agenda of the neighbours on Syria and Iran. There's agreement across the board. On Gaza, Gantz and Lapid have said that Bibi is too left and not sufficiently strong enough, and that Bibi needs to react more strongly. So they're trying to outmuscle Bibi on the Gaza question. And when it comes to land, they're committed and promising to retain, as I said earlier, the Jordan Valley, the Golan Heights, the United Jerusalem, and the major settlement block. So there really are very few policy differences. Where Gantz and Lapid differ, and where Lapid has a harder time in general, both with Netanyahu and with the electorate, is that he has been more scathing about the Haredim, and he's considered to be, whether it's true or not is a different question, but more to the left than Gantz is. And nobody accuses Gantz of being a leftist, or he's a centrist. I'm not sure that Lapid is a leftist, but that's the tag that he gets laboured with. Lapid is a much better media performer than Gantz. Lapid is more Bibi-like in that sense. And I actually think that Lapid is, in that sense, and being so telegenic, more of a threat to Netanyahu.
Well, Lapid always says that he will not have a coalition with the religious parties.
Yes, and so does Lieberman. Lapid is carrying on what his father said, but, you know, after the election, when we will see the results, everybody will say, well, I didn't want to do something, but it's in the national interest, it's a national imperative, and they will do things. I mean, if the Haredim are in the government but not controlling the government, in other words, the government's continuation doesn't depend on whether they stay in or out, then I don't think that will bother Lapid at all. Sharon proved, as Prime Minister, he was the only one to leave at least a Shas out of government, and he proved that it was possible to govern without the Haredim. Of course, Bibi will have a much easier time if he wins the election and he has the Haredim in his government than if he has to contend with Lapid and Gantz.
Ron, the election is very soon. We don't have that much to wait any longer.
I think people need to understand one final point, and that is that the power resides with the President of the State of Israel. He has a unique power in that it is he who invites the first person to form a government. I remind you that when Tzipi Livni beat Bibi Netanyahu in an election, President Peres did not invite Tzipi Livni to form a government, but invited Netanyahu. So there are no laws, there are conventions, and Rivlin will have a very big decision to make after the election, who he invites to first form a government, and who he does invite to first form a government will have far and away the best chance of forming a government. So that is going to be a very critical role.
Dr. Ron Weiser, thank you so much.
sbs.com.au